Everybody likes a housewarming gift, don't they? Yeah, usually it's like a basket with cheese and crackers, maybe some wine. And when you get the basket and it has oils in it to rid your home of demons, that may be a sign you've picked the wrong home. That's what happens to one renter when the landlord drops off that oh-so-friendly gift basket. That story in a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear it, sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Becoming an EPP supports the show. It helps keep us on the air and cover all of our hard costs of distributing the show. And you get all the bonus episodes, more than 60 of them, exclusive video content, and more. Sign up to be an EPP right now, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, it's your ghost stories as we have open lines at 855-853-4802. If you want to share your real ghost story with us, that is the phone number to dial to share it. Of course, you can also write in if you prefer that to be your method to the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Are you ready for Zombie Turkey Day?
I am.
I'm all set. I'm excited. Zombified turkeys. We talked about chickens earlier in the year. Was it this year or last year?
I don't remember.
I just brought up at some point about why is it that we don't have, because there's animal hauntings where we have stories of people and their cats and their dogs. And I said, well, why isn't like a KFC just, you know, rampant with ghost chickens?
Because those chickens probably don't get to experience any love.
They weren't loved.
No.
They were just, yeah. But, okay, what about where you have, don't roll your eyes.
Okay, what?
What about we have a lot more of a movement of farm-to-table type things going on now where there's a lot more care. There's still factory farms. That certainly exists. But I'm talking now about the more, you know, artisan farms, if you will, or more just real old school is really all it is. They're just doing it the way people used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They are putting more care and more love into what they're producing and putting out. Could those animals have more of a potential to have ghosts, or are they still not really loved? They're still just food. They're just better treated.
I think they're just better treated, but okay. I think any farmer knows better than to develop an attachment to something that may be potentially be dinner.
I'd be horrible at being a farmer.
Yeah.
Because I would like name them all.
I know.
And I'd be like petting them, and it would be really difficult when it actually came time where you actually had to like, okay, it's time to serve you up here.
See?
That wouldn't work.
No.
That would not work. You'd have to imagine there's got to be someone out there who's like been guilted into that profession or something, and maybe it was like a family thing, and they feel that way, but they do it because it's their living.
Yeah, I could see that.
I wonder if that one has ghost turkeys. I'm somehow going to figure out a way to make this a reality.
Okay.
Anyhow, has anyone ever been haunted by their dinner? That's the question for today. Not like later on in the evening where it's like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that. Where's the X-lax? More so literally your dinner came back and haunted you in the form of an apparition of some sort.
Okay.
That's today's question at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Our first caller today, let's go over here to our caller in Tennessee. Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, so this happened when I lived in California. I live in Tennessee now, but I grew up in a small town called Woodland. Outside of Woodland, about 4 or 5 miles, there was this cemetery that my dad said he used to go to when he was young, heard babies crying at night from the baby area of the cemetery. Thought it was weird, but we went for my buddy's 21st birthday. We went out fishing, and on the way back, he said, "Hey, I want to go by the cemetery that you were talking about." So, me, my dad, him, and my stepbrother go. to the cemetery, and my dad says, y'all can have fun. I'm going to stay in here, keep the truck running. Y'all just go out, do your thing. We're looking around, we're looking at all the old tombstones thinking, wow, this is cool. And then my brother points and laughs at a tombstone. It says Hershey on it. He thinks it's funny because, you know, Hershey candy bars, whatever. It says Hershey on it. So he starts laughing. I was like, dude, you know, we had people named Hershey live in Woodland, blah, blah, blah. We go out and we're walking out a little more, and it just got eerie. It got cold. It got quiet. Just unsettling. Me and my buddy were walking together. My brother was off doing something else, and we sat there for a second, and it was just eerie. Then out of nowhere, we heard this noise. I don't know how to describe this noise. It was like a noise. It was weird. I never heard it before in my life. Never, ever before in my life. We stood there for a second, and we listened to it, and then it kept getting louder and louder and louder until finally it felt like it was just about screaming at us, all around us, surrounding us. So I looked at him, and I was like, dude, I'm not okay with this, man. We got to get out of here. He's standing perfectly still, like terrified, petrified. He runs, just takes off running. I'm like, oh, heck no, I'm not staying here. I take off running. My brother, he goes, what's going on? I was like, dude, let's go. We need to get the hell out of here now. He starts running. I run, and I had one of those little clamp-on headlights that you put on your hat, and it fell off. So I stopped, and I looked back, and I went to grab it. And when I did, there was just this shadow that moved up behind me and grabbed it, ran in there, pushed my brother inside. Jumped in the back of the truck. My buddy jumped in the front seat, and we were gone. But I don't know what was going on, but for the next 2 weeks, I had nightmares of a cross, an upside-down cross being burnt into my skin. And then I told somebody about it. After I told somebody about it, they stopped, but I don't understand why it gave me nightmares like that, what was going on with it, but I can't tell you that it scared the living crap out of me. Anyways, that's my story. I'm a new listener, by the way. It's been, 2 days. I've listened to a bunch of your old interviews, like the one with the lady with the whole Conjuring thing, and then that about the, my Amityville Horror, listen to that interview with the director of that. Anyways, this show's awesome. I haven't stopped listening to you guys since. Keep up the good work.
That's pretty awesome that after 2 days he'd call in and be brave enough to make that noise.
Yeah, because it does, but the thing is, we get a lot of stories like that. People like, I don't know what the hell, I can't describe this sound. We did hear a sound like that on that weird Richard in Chattanooga call.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I was kind of thinking of, that where it's almost like wispy, breezy, sound very fast, very quick, and almost, I guess if you were to try and figure out a sound effect to apply to the idea of something manifesting, I guess that's what I would pick.
Okay.
I think that would be, from a production standpoint, but because that's kind of based on what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like something was truly trying to manifest itself there or make itself known or whatever. Very, very odd.
Do you think it was upset by the laughing, taking it as a mocking?
I think it was something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was anything good.
No.
By the way, he was describing what was going on with what he was dreaming about and things of that nature. Probably not a super, powerful demonic force, but a force of some sort nonetheless. Something that you don't necessarily want to have following you around.
Right.
Regardless of its power. But very, very creepy, creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. share your real ghost stories and experiences with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi, I'm totally binge listening to all your episodes. I heard listening to one probably the end of November last year, and how you guys, I don't know if you've ever made it to Savannah yet, but how you guys, how Tony, I think you're a little bit scared to go. I want to tell you my story. I went there about 2007. I was there with my son, who at the time was a little less than a year old. And I was waiting. I was on my way down first, driving, and my parents were going to come down with my daughter because my daughter was still in school. So she was about 6 or 7 at the time. So he and I drove down there from Chicago first. And so we were bored. There was nothing. Well, I was bored. He was a baby. He didn't care. So I called my mom, who loves Savannah. They were actually going to purchase a house there in the 80s when they were selling for like next to nothing, and now they're worth millions of dollars. My parents love it there. Anyway, so I asked her, I said, well, what should we do while we're down there? And she said, go on a ghost tour. And I said, oh, okay. So I went on one that was a house. It was like a house tour. So it wasn't necessarily the kind where they walk you around outside. It was more going into these houses that some were private residences, others were like bed and breakfast, other were like just historical markers, or like the Pirate's House, the restaurant, which is amazing. We also went there. They have absolutely amazing food there, by the way. So we were in there in this particular house. I believe they called it, I want to say it was like the Pumpkin House because it was orange. I might be wrong on that. So we were in the house, and my son started to get fussy, and I was just holding him. So instead of being rude and disrupting the whole tour, there was like 15 people in our little tour, I stepped away to a different part of the house. So I went into what I am guessing was maybe like a billiard room, or I guess where the guys hung out in the olden days. It had like, I'm guessing it had like cigar stuff because I smelled cigar and pipe smoke in there, and I don't know if I was supposed to, I can't remember if somebody actually lived in that house or if it was like just open for tours. I really don't know. But I smelled smoke in there, so I assumed it was a room where all the guys sat after dinner or whatever. And there was this huge portrait of this, I'm guessing maybe a general or some sort of captain of a ship. I don't know who he was. So I'm standing there checking out this picture. My son is starting to calm down. I'm just kind of rocking him, you know, holding him and just talking to him. And I turn and I see the door closing, the door into the room closing. And I thought, oh, well, they must be done. Let's move along here. Calm down now. So I started to walk toward that door, and all of a sudden I had this feeling. It almost felt like I was going to get a panic attack or something, if that makes sense. And I had this sense of urgency, and I could see it on my son's face too. And I went to pull at the door because the door was closing, and it was almost like I could feel a sensation on the other side of the door pulling in the other direction, like almost to shut me in the room. And I want to tell you, I was pulling with such force with both of my hands. My son's arms were wrapped around my neck. His little legs were kind of digging into my ribs. He was holding on too. So I feel like he may have seen something that I didn't see. I couldn't see it, but I definitely could sense it. And then all of a sudden it went away, and I fell on the floor with my son on top of me. And by now I was really angry because I thought it was like part of like, I don't know. I thought it was like an act or something. So I went out and I told the lady, I said, you know, that's not funny. I'm in here with a baby. I could have really gotten hurt. she was looking at me like I was absolutely batshit crazy. And she said, oh, well, that must have been so-and-so. I'm assuming she meant the guy in the portrait. He likes blondes. And that's what she told me, and that was it. And I was so shaken up by it. I went outside and sat by my hotel, and I just sat there, and I had, you know, a panic anxiety attack for about a half hour. So I thought I would share that with you. I don't remember the name of the street that it's on. I know it's near one of the hotels, not on the Riverwalk, but further into town. And I hope you like my story, and I will call in again because I have some other good ones. Thanks. Bye.
I wonder if she's talking about that pink restaurant. Do you remember that? It was that house that was bright pink.
Yeah, we didn't eat there, but it looked good.
Yeah, they recommended it.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it'd be quite a horrifying experience.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how often the tour guides get that, where somebody comes in and confronts them thinking that, oh, it's something, some part of the act, as if there's like a, it's mm-hmm. like a haunted mansion type ride or something.
Sure.
Where there's something bizarre that that occurs. I'd imagine that'd be probably a fairly common occurrence.
Oh, yeah. And it sounds like, especially in this case, that it happens often enough that they know that it's going to happen to somebody that's blonde.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, that happens all the time. And yeah, we have been there. We went last year. What was it, January?
It was January. So, yeah, almost a year ago.
Sure. And yeah, it. I wasn't really scared to go. It was an interesting experience. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real fun time. So I definitely Charleston is the other city I want to go check out.
Yeah,
which is a bit of a ways away, but that's kind of on the radar now too. But that would be a fun experience. Architecture, all that, really really beautiful down there. It's really, you know, it's certainly a one of a kind town.
Yeah,
there's so many cities you go to, and it's like, yep, it's a city, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just like. Yep, they got this version of that or that. That city, very distinctly itself,
mm-hmm.
which is really neat and really cool. So definitely had a great time visiting that area. And the Pirate's House, we did not eat there.
No.
There was like nobody there when we were there. It was like kind of it was a weeknight, though, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went and had a couple of drinks.
Sure.
But
and no ghosts.
No.
I did attempt to go to the bathroom because we have had stories here on the show of people seeing and hearing things in the bathroom. So I went in there and like walked around, took some pictures. Luckily, no one walked in while I had my camera out taking pictures of the bathroom.
Yes.
People may be like, what exactly are you doing, sir? But I got nothing out of it. We didn't get any ghost things out of it, but certainly lots of history there. Very, very fun town. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you haven't gathered that yet, that's how you can call in and share your stories and experiences with us. Let's go to Dustin in Indiana. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jen. This is Dustin, Greenfield, Indiana. Hey, a long-time listener, you guys. You guys do a great job. Hey, guys wanted to call in with a Ouija board story. This took place back in about 2004. I was living in an apartment with my girlfriend at the time. And basically what happened was I'd played with the Ouija board before, probably 5-6 different times, and always seemed to work okay for me and never had any real problems. but this particular time, I had went out and purchased a Ouija board. I, for whatever reason, just felt the need to. And brought it home to the apartment we were staying in. And me and the girlfriend decided to play one night. And we didn't really play for very long. And nothing really happened at that time. But I put the Ouija board up in the laundry room. And couple nights later, we were both asleep in bed, and she woke me up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and said she was hearing noises coming from inside the apartment. I didn't hear anything because I was asleep and didn't think anything of it, so I kind of just went back to bed. Well, about 4 or 5 nights later, I woke up and I could hear things outside of bedroom door, but it was coming from like the kitchen area. But keep in mind, I did have a roommate at the time who was single, and he would come in late and probably been out drinking or whatever the night before. And, you know, sometimes he would stumble around and make a lot of noise, so I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was just him. So anyway, I woke up one night and I could hear some things out in the kitchen area. And it sounded like cabinet doors opening, closing, refrigerator opening, closing, and I thought it was my roommate. So I got up and I walked out into the living room, and all the lights were off and there was nothing, nobody was there. So I decided to knock on his door, and he didn't answer, so I opened his door and nobody was in there. So I went back to bed, kind of freaked out at that point, because I'd made sure the doors were locked, and, I mean, I always keep everything locked up, so nobody had gotten in. So I go back to bed. A couple nights later, actually, it might have been the very next night, I woke up at about 3 or 3:30 in the morning, and I could hear the same noises. So again, I got up, I went out, checked everything. Nothing was there. So I go back to bed, and eventually I fell asleep. About an hour later, I woke back up, and I could hear, and this was in the middle of the summer, so we had the windows open in our bedroom in the apartment. So we had our window open. But anyway, I go back to bed. I wake up about an hour later. It's about 4:30 in the morning. I can hear kids laughing and playing. And it's coming from outside the bedroom window. So I get up and I look out the window. And the second that I get up and I look out the window, the noise goes away. There's no kids. I had laid in bed for probably 3 or 4 minutes at least before I got up and was like, what the heck are these kids doing at 4:30 in the morning? But when I went to the window, there was no noises. So at this point, you know, I'm really freaked out. I wake my girlfriend up and I say, hey, did you hear anything? And she says, no. I said, well, this is what just happened. I told her, and she said, well, that's not what I heard, but, you know, maybe it was something else. So I've always believed in things like this anyway, and so I tried to play it off the best I could, but I knew something was wrong. So I'm laying in bed. There's no way I'm falling back asleep at this point. Might as well just stay up. But I'm just laying there, staring at the ceiling. And then I can hear the sounds coming back from the kitchen again, with the cabinet doors opening and closing, the refrigerator opening and closing. Only this time I'm not going to go check, because I already know somebody. Nobody's there. My roommate had stayed the night at his girlfriend's. Nobody was home. Now, keep in mind, we also had, like, a little hallway nightlight. So, you know, if you got up in the middle of the night, you can go to the bathroom, see where you're going. The noises got a little bit louder and a little bit louder. And eventually, I thought, you know, maybe somebody is in here and, you know, I'm going to go check. So as I'm laying in bed and I'm getting ready to get up and go look, I glance over at the door, and you know how apartments have really cheap doors that have about an inch or 2 inch cut off from the bottom so you can see underneath the door into the hallways. Well, I glanced over, and as the noises had stopped, as I was about to get up, I look over at the door, and I can see what looked like two very large feet standing in front of my door. So at this point, I'm freaking out. I wake her up, I grab my gun, And I'm like, somebody's broken in or something, you know, paranormal is going on here. And I walk to the door with the gun. I swing it open. Nobody's there. Check my roommate's room. I knew he wasn't there, and he wasn't. All the doors were locked. And that's when I knew that something was going on with that Ouija board being in there. So the very next day, I take the Ouija board in the box, take it out to the dumpster, dump it, and knock on wood, it didn't show back up or anything like that. And we only had about a month left on our lease, and we stayed until it was up, didn't have any other issues once I got rid of the board. But definitely one of the more terrifying Ouija board stories that I've got that has ever happened to me. Also, I may call back in later. Also in the town of Greenfield, which actually just on the outskirts, called Philadelphia, in Green, right outside of Greenfield in Indiana, where my parents and I grew up, or when I grew up with my parents, there is there a large section of woods that surround a cornfield, and some sort of natural historic society actually found remnants of an Indian burial ground out there. As a kid, I played out there all the time, and I would see all these stones, and they were kind of tall, and I didn't have any defining type of writing on them, so I didn't think anything of them, but apparently that's what turned out to be the part of the Indian burial ground. And a couple of strange things happened as I was growing up around there. Like I said, I may call back and let you guys know, but anyway, that's my latest Ouija board story. So hope it gets on there. Love the show, guys. Keep it up, and have a good one. Talk to you later.
Thanks for sharing that story and that experience with us.
I think that's kind of an unusual one where the spirits seem to be attached and confined to the area that the board's in.
Mm-hmm.
Like they stayed in the same room with the board, and then once the board was gotten rid of, they went with it, which is kind of unusual.
Where it's almost kind of like how sometimes you have things that are attached to objects. I mean, obviously a Ouija board is an object, but a lot of times it's not necessarily attached to the board. Sometimes it's like, oh, you got it out there. Get rid of the board. That's great. But the thing is still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an end table, if you still have the end table, it will still be there if it's a haunted end table.
Sure.
So, yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. It's interesting with the burial ground stuff. Do you think like 500 years from now where they'll be like, oh, this used to be a functioning cemetery? They discovered it after they put this new development on top of it with our current cemeteries. They just eventually just kind of get, well, no one really knew anybody here. They just, we needed the space, so.
I don't know. I don't know, because in our neck of the woods, you don't have things that old.
Sure.
You know, pre-Civil War, like 1850s is about as old as you get.
Sure.
Around here as far as marked things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's Indian burial grounds all over the place.
Sure.
But
not so marked as,
yeah,
as we mark them right now.
Right. So I don't think we've gotten, at least here, to the point to find out, oh, what are we going to do now?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want, I mean, we do have, in some larger cities, you have that where it's like, well, we need the space, so we're going to move all these people.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of cases where it's shocking if you, like, Google this. I think there was one like around here not that long ago where it's sometimes you have not so up and up funeral, not funeral homes, but whoever runs the cemetery. I don't know what that would even be called. I don't know what that job title is. But there's been some cases where you have some cemeteries where it's like, oh, yeah, we put them there and we buried them. And like they found like mass graves and shit like that. That's just spooky.
Yes. That's just perfect for a haunting, because you've got people upset and, you know, living relatives, but then also the dead can't be too happy about that.
That takes a very special type of F in the head to attempt that one.
Yeah.
Extremely. So there you go. And here's another theoretical one. In a bizarro world, mm-hmm. where the Ouija board is like not the scary game and the game that conjures up demons, what would be the game that everyone is completely afraid of? My vote's Candyland.
Candyland?
People are like, I got this Candyland game out, and then all of a sudden, this is Bizarro Land. What's the opposite of the Ouija board?
Oh, yeah. Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders would be the one for you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't... we'd have Chutes and Ladders Awareness Month, then. It'd be fun. 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. If you are a new listener to the show, be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. That helps us grow in the rankings, and you get all the latest shows sent directly to you. So be sure to hit that subscribe button. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name is Stefan. I love your show, and I'm about to become an EPP, so that'll be even more exciting to hear all your other stuff. So, got a story. My family has been full of sensitive people, as you guys like to call them, and I didn't really believe most of it. On my mom's side, a lot of people have their own little superstitions, and just, you know, one of my aunts talks about prophetic dreams, that whenever you dream about certain things, that will in turn mean something else. And then on my dad's side of the family, they talk about just feelings and sometimes seeing things out of the corner of their eye or just experiencing things in general. It's actually been kind of fun to listen to both sides of my family talk about all their different experiences, from my aunts talking to dead people to my other aunts mentioning that they had a dream about somebody, and then next thing you know, that somebody's either there or they've passed on. It's been very strange. But the really strange thing is that ever since I was a little kid, I would start getting really weird feelings and really weird dreams as well. So much so that now I'll sometimes call up whichever side of my family I'm having a feeling about, like, you know, whether I have a dream about something or whether I feel something, to ask their opinion, and they get very giddy and excited. But recently, it's been actually getting a lot, I don't want to say worse, because it's kind of exciting, but at the same time, kind of scary. But recently, I've been spending time with a lot of my coworkers who are now turning into friends, and one of them has this really old place up in San Francisco. So I like hanging out there with her and just seeing a lot of weird stuff in her place. She will talk about her little resident ghost that she has, and she's told me a little bit of a backstory on him, but when I'm there, I actually think I see him or so much feel him around, and that's the kind of creepy part. I had walked into her place once, and I turned to the living room, and I saw somebody sitting there, and I said, oh, I didn't realize that you had company. She's like, what are you talking about? And I turned back to the living room and nobody was there. It's gotten to the point where every time I go now, something strange will happen. Suddenly, I'll be talking to her and then I'll hear somebody say my name in the room. It gets really, really strange sometimes, because we'll be having a conversation and I'll just feel like somebody's standing there watching us. I mentioned this to one of my aunts on my dad's side, and she said, you know, maybe you should just try to communicate with this person and see what you get. So I, you know, thought, all right, this is kind of nuts, but I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot. And I sat there with my friend, and we were talking, and I pulled up a chair next to us, which probably was not the best idea in the world, and said, like, you know, all right, what's your name? And then out of nowhere, like clear as day, in my gut, I knew that it was Benny. And I just sat there and I looked at my friend. I'm like, his name is Benny. And she looked at me just going like, how do you know that? I'm like, I just know. And it was a very strange experience where any question that she would ask, whether it was about him or even about herself, just being at home, things that she does in private that Benny would have seen, I just knew. And this is a new friend. Like, we just started hanging out. We just started getting to know each other better. And it was really intense, just the whole experience. The problem is that now, whenever I'm at work or whenever I'm at home or whenever I'm just not around her, I'll still get bits of information about Benny. So much so that I'll sometimes still think that he, or feel that he's around. Kind of getting a little annoying, but at the same time, I know that he's not really up to anything mischievous. He's just hanging around because he wants to hang around. Although I have said, like, on numerous occasions, all right, I need my space, and then all of a sudden he will not be there anymore. So yeah, that's my story. I have a bunch more just different experiences with my, with Benny, with my friend's ghost, or just being at home experiencing things on my own or with family. So yeah, thanks for listening, and I hope to hear this on a show. And keep up the good work. You guys are amazing. You definitely brighten up my day with all of your great stuff. All right, take care.
Nothing like a little paranormal TMI.
How so?
Well, because he was finding out stuff about his new friend mm-hmm. through the ghost that lives there, giving him this information.
And it's just an informant ghost.
Yeah, it's not something you can say, hey, how's that whatever you're not supposed to know about going?
How'd you know about that? Mm-hmm. A ghost told me. Bullshit. Yeah, that would be an odd conversation.
Yes.
It's like brightening your day with darkness. That should be our, like, our slogan, brightening your day with darkness. Mm-hmm. That sounds very much like a radio slogan, like today's best variety.
Right.
That can be like our, like, take on a kitsch radio slogan. Today's best variety of darkness.
Or we can skip that.
We could just completely. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name's Justin. I'm from Iowa. I got a pretty scary story, I'd say. I'm just going to get right into it. When I was younger, probably around 11, 12 years old, me and my friends heard about the Bloody Mary experiment, where you would stand in the bathroom, say her name three times, and supposedly she was supposed to show herself. Well, we did that, and nothing happened. Well, until later on in the year when I started having reoccurring night terrors, is what I call them. The first one I remember, I was asleep on the couch, and in my dream, I woke up and felt like I was awake. However, I was still dreaming, but I woke up the same place I fell asleep on the couch. I noticed that the Christmas tree that was in the dining area started smoking, and I got worried, nervous that a fire was about to happen, and I leaned up, and out of the smoke came a woman covered in blood, dried blood, what it looked like, and wearing a long gray dress, her face unrecognizable, and she stared at me for a little while, and then she slowly walked her way towards me. And this whole time, I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't move, and as she got closer, the terror built up to the point to where in real time, where I wasn't dreaming, I was screaming in my sleep loud enough to wake my parents up. And they woke me up. As the woman got inches from my face, my parents woke me up. And I went and slept in their bed that night. But this night terror seems to happen to me ever since then, at least one or two times a year, and it's always the same. It's always me waking up in my dream, wherever I fell asleep at, smoke coming from a doorway or a closet or anywhere that I can't see behind, and then the woman coming out of the smoke and getting closer and closer to my face until she gets to my face, and that's when I wake up every time, whether it's somebody waking me up or me waking up on my own. But I scream loud in my sleep, apparently, from what I've been told. And after that, I can't go back to sleep for the rest of the night. But it's been different now. I just moved into a new house. There's been shadows and unexplained things going on at our house. And earlier this year, I had the same experience. It felt like the normal night terror, but instead of a woman, it was a man. And he just stood there in the doorway, stared at me. And I woke up on my own free will. felt a little bright, but not like normal, until I noticed my dog, which is a little Boston Terrier that sleeps at the end of the bed, was staring at the doorway where the man was standing, and he was growling. His ears were up. The hackles were going. He was growling. So I said his name. I said, "Beans." No response. I said, "Beans," again. And he turned around, looked like he snapped out of some kind of trance, and threw up all over the bed. And, I mean, it's really unexplainable. I don't know whether it's nightmares or sleep paralysis. I'm trying to get some advice on what that is. But also, I got a picture recently. I took a couple of photos of the room and was trying to capture one of the shadows when I did capture a shadow standing at the end of my bed, which I will upload to your website here. But yeah, I just wanted to call in and let you know what was going on and see if anyone out there had any advice for me or had any idea of what this was. Thank you. I love the show and look forward to becoming an EPP member soon.
I have to say, that's a new one for the pets.
Yes.
Where the animal is that freaked out or that disturbed or sickened, that's the reaction. We hear a lot where the animal sees it or senses and is upset, runs or growls, or depending on what it wants to do, fight or flight. It's very interesting that it had that effect on the animal.
I wonder if that particular dog, when it's upset by something, gets sick, because some dogs do.
Sure.
Or if that was just completely uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
You know, obviously something upset it, but I thought the whole thing was going to be a sleep paralysis type setup, except for when the dog got into it and actually threw up.
That's
something's going on.
That's one of those that where it comes around, where it's not just where you. It's difficult with some of those where you have the story of like, I had this dream and it was sleep paralysis, and that's it. Nothing else happened. Okay. Believe it was terrifying, but a lot of times you need that 360 on it to kind of connect those dots outside of the paralysis to go, okay, there really is something here.
Right.
Because otherwise it's very difficult to say exactly what's going on, but certainly I think there's something going on there. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi.
Hi, Jenny and Tony. This is Marie. I just wanted to tell you a quick story about my daughter. She came to live with me 3 years ago, and at the time, we were living in a one-bedroom apartment. We had not moved, so she was sleeping with Mom, and she always liked to sleep with me anyway. And one night, or the morning, she woke up, and she told me that during the night, she'd been in sort of a half-awake, half-asleep state, and that sort of in her mind's eye that she had seen a shadow figure, or what Heidi Hollis would call the Hat Man. She saw a completely black figure wearing a fedora with glowing red eyes standing right in the door of my bedroom closet. And she said that she rolled over and pulled the covers over her head. And when she told me this, she didn't know what a shadow person was. She doesn't know a lot about the paranormal, although she is, I believe, a sensitive. And I pulled up a picture online of a rendering of a shadow man with a hat on and the glowing eyes, and her face just kind of drained of all the color, and it definitely shook her up. And the interesting thing was, at that time I was also having episodes of sleep paralysis, and during those episodes I was seeing a shadow man at the side of my bed. So that was a bit strange. It scared her pretty bad, and she wouldn't go in the bedroom for a while by herself. It only happened that once, though. Never happened again. And the other thing that happened to her was when she was still living with her father in New Mexico. And my father, who she called Granddaddy, had passed within the last year at that time. And she said that three times in a row during the course of 1 week that she saw my father in her bedroom. And I pressed her a little bit more, and she said that she actually saw a black figure, which kind of distressed me. I didn't know why she thought that was my father. But she told me, "Mom, when I saw that figure, when I saw Granddaddy, I immediately thought about my grades and that Granddaddy was not happy about my grades because she was not taking school very seriously at the time. And my father was definitely not happy about her grades." So I can't say whether or not the black figure was my father. I would hope he would appear as something more pleasant. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting story. So maybe I will have her call in sometime. She lives in Denver now, but maybe I'll ask her to call and tell you some other stories that she has. So anyway, thank you. Love the show, and I will continue to listen. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us.
I think it's funny that even though sometimes people we know show up as shadow people, we still know it's them because mm-hmm. we just have that feeling. We just recognize their energy.
Sure. It's one of those things where it's like, it goes back to not all shadow people are bad. Sometimes it's just the way that that entity is appearing.
Right.
So, yeah, very, very true. 855-853-4802, our phone number. I just shared this on our Facebook page because I thought it was amusing, and it's been sent to us a couple times, and you may have seen it by now, but I've decided to share it out there, and this could be completely bullshit, or it could be, I don't know, it's odd enough where it's like, I don't know that someone would make this up. It seems that it's strange enough that somebody saw it and took a picture. It's just a printed out sign like someone would put up at work. Mm-hmm. It's on Subway letterhead.
Okay.
And it's like what you put on the bulletin board in the back room for the employees. It says, "Ouija boards and seances are not allowed to be performed in this shop. Haunt your own house." Thank you. In smaller type.
Okay.
So that, I mean, most Subways are independently owned in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing this is probably a real posting that somebody put up in their independent store because they had the teenage kids that for whatever reason were trying to do these things after hours, which I am not shocked by.
No, I'm not. I was at first thinking, what, customers are going in there? Let's meet up at the Subway and do a seance.
Let's get a foot long and summon up Satan.
Yeah. But I could see kids doing that after hours.
Oh, yeah. In high school, I had some friends who worked at a Subway, and there's a lot of odd things that go on after hours at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure it's not just that restaurant by any stretch of the imagination, and I can't verify if this is real or not. But I remember back when they had the stamps, you get uh-huh. the stamps and you could fill out the card and you get a free sub. I had a friend who took a roll of the stamps.
Oh, really?
And throughout most of my, what's the year before senior year? Is that junior year?
Uh-huh.
We ate Subway for free, pretty much.
That's horrible.
All year long. It's like, they were just in his car, so whenever we were hungry, it's like, oh, let's fill out some of these cards and go and get some.
That's awful.
It's not a good, that's about the worst of the shit that I did as a teenager, though. So if that's the worst of it,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know,
okay.
In perspective, not, I mean, it was wrong. It was wrong. It's something you shouldn't do. I don't endorse it. I don't, but, you know, I was a dumb 16-year-old at the time, and it's like, oh, free sandwich. Why not? You know, anyway, 8-5, and I can say this though about it, not just that we got free sandwiches. I will say this about, they were very sanitary with the food. I know a lot of people, when you're talking about, you know, kids in restaurants, you go immediately to, oh, what are they doing to the food? I, you know, other than letting their friends hang out after hours at the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure wasn't, you know, extremely, you know, liked,
if the owners knew of that. When we were hanging out in back, as they were like shutting it down and putting the food away and all that, very much at the time, they paid very close attention to getting things in the fridge correctly. There was no tampering with items or anything like that. They're just taking stamps. That's one of the reasons why the stamp program went away.
Yeah.
Because the majority of the employees were like 17.
And it was just kind of annoying.
I enjoyed the...
I didn't.
It's because you didn't have access to a full roll of them.
No, I didn't.
That's why you didn't enjoy it. I had a lot of chicken subs. 855-853-4802 is the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. And I think that wraps it up for today's episode. If you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, please sign up to be an EPP. It's only $5 a month. It's an extra podcast person. Get access to more than 60-some bonus episodes of our show, jam-packed with some of the best stories we've ever done here. Exclusive video content up there and more. It's a thank you for helping to keep this thing alive. If you want it to keep going, please go on the kitty. And we will continue to do this thing we call Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.